I'm going to continue in the study that I started months ago on the three topics, which is hearing, you shall hear, seeing, you shall see, and understanding, you shall perceive. And what we know is that this was used by the Lord to really admonish those who were listening that they were hearing, but they didn't hear. They were seeing, but they didn't see. And they didn't understand, therefore. And so what was it that he really wanted us to understand? And given the fact that that message was different from the Christ to the Jews, what was the message that Christ gave to Paul as an apostle of Jesus Christ? And what is it then that we need to understand today? Ron just finished with talking about the dispensational placement of books, dispensation meaning the stewardship or the administration. Paul's administration started with him reaching out to the Jews, and therefore he talked about the law. He wouldn't talk about the law to Gentiles because the Gentiles didn't know the law. They didn't have the law. And then he started talking to Jews and Gentiles, Gentiles that were grafted in. And as a result, there was a minimization of the law. There was only a few things that we have to keep as believers, or those believers at that time. But then he came into the dispensation of the grace of God and the mystery. And that's a whole different message. And we don't have the law. So unless you can, and I'm going to use the word compartmentalize the different books that Paul writes, and whether Ron's right that Galatians was the first book that he wrote, I happen to believe that, like Bullinger, Hebrews may have been the first book that he wrote, and that's why he didn't pen his name on it, because he knew that the Jews would reject it. And so he wanted to make sure that he was anonymous in that situation until he was better known, and therefore Galatians may have been the second. But maybe Galatians was. How do we know? We don't. So it's speculation, it's opinion, I strongly agree with Ron's opinion on many things, and so he's probably right here as well. I'll defer to that, but we'll know when we know. So, what was it that we need to understand? As believers today, what is it that we need to understand? And I think it's important for us to take a look at those last seven books that Paul wrote and understand that there were some differences. And the differences start in Acts 28:28. We'll cover that in a bit. But Paul talks about a mystery, a secret. And what I want to do today, given the time that I have, and I don't know that I can get through it all, but I hope to, so I'll be going fast. And if you were to be asked, what is this secret all about? Why are you guys focusing on this mystery? Why is your platform called the Mysterion? Are you one of those secret societies? Are you a cult? What would your response be? And if you had the opportunity to be on stage, if you will, and you've got a flip chart, and you're standing there in front of the flip chart, and you were asked the question, okay, so what is this mystery? Tell us. Or maybe they don't even ask about what the mystery is. But how would you come into this to be able to tell them that there's something different there? And so what I'm going to try to do today in the next 45 minutes or so is to say, here's how you might present this. So let's just pretend that you're in front of a room. You got a flip chart next to you. Everybody knows what a flip chart is, blank paper. And you take with your finger, not with a marker, not with a pen, and you write something. And then you turn around and you ask, what did I write? And they would be like, well, don't know. And you might say, well, I wrote something in Greek. What's the matter? Don't you speak Greek? And then you turn around, you write something else. No pen in your hand. It's absolutely invisible to the people there. You said, what did I write? Anybody know? And then you might say, well, what's the matter? I wrote it in English this time. Is it fair for me to expect this group of people listening to me to be able to read words that are not there? So, anybody know what letter I started with? Any guesses? Well, what if I don't really want everyone to see what I wrote? Only a chosen few. The ones that are paying attention. If it was a conference setting, maybe it'd be the ones in the front row. They seem to be more interested in the word than those who choose to sit in the back by the food. It's obvious to me that they're not interested in spiritual things. They're only interested in the worldly things, filling their bellies. Is that fair? Does it even sound fair? Well, it's not. But it is not about fair. It is about God's sovereignty. God told me to only tell some of you because it's a secret that hasn't been revealed before to mankind or any other created being except for me. That's Paul. So the word I wrote in English was the word secret. The word in the Greek is mysterion. Mysterion means mystery or secret. Now, most of you that are listening to me right now have been told something about the mystery. Maybe you have an idea of what it is, but can you really tell somebody else? I mean, we are meeting in a chat room, and therefore, if we were in Russia, we'd be called a secret society. We'd be a cult. We would not be in favorable standing with the state. And we probably are going to be in that same situation here in this country if the current administration continues the way they are. So, therefore, my purpose today is to tie together my previous studies on hearing, seeing, and understanding, and to give you some key points that are defining what this mystery is, so that when someone asks you the question, you'll be able to answer. And so as Paul said in Ephesians 6:19, "And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Earlier in Ephesians, he says, "To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Now, this mystery was hid. And it was hid from the beginning of the world. Therefore, from the time, from when time started, it's been hid. There's no one that knew anything about it. Therefore, they can't hint at it. They can't tell other people about it. They can't sit there with a big smile on their face and saying, "I know something you don't know," because it was not revealed until it was revealed to Paul. And when that secret was revealed, Paul said, "I want to speak boldly about it." So, you know, with most people, they say they read the Bible. Do they? Do they really understand the Bible? As Ron pointed out, do they really dig deep to be able to figure out chronologically which books are for them and which are not? As Arthur Custon said, you need to know the address on the envelope, who it's written to, who was written by, when it was written, where it was written from, what the purpose of it was. I mean, all these questions have to be answered before we can really understand these scriptures, because as Ron's been pointing out, we are not under the law. Our old nature needed the law to be able to see that we had an old nature. And so, if you read the Bible, Do you know that the Bible says there is no God? Whoa, what? The Bible doesn't say that. Sure it does. Psalms 53, starting in verse 1. But if you don't read the full context, you don't get the truth. Because it says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. See, when you read the full context, you realize that this is the fool who said that, not the believer. The believer believes in God. The fool does not. So, as we run our eyes over verses, do we really have understanding? I mean, there are times when I have to read multiple times the same passage, because as I read a certain word, my brain takes me someplace else. I go down a rabbit hole for a minute, and then I realize I've just read four paragraphs, and I have no understanding of what I read. And I have to go back up and reread it, sometimes multiple times, to really put things together. And so, what is God's purpose and plan when he put the Bible together, Old Testament, New Testament, to the Jew first, and then to the Gentile, and then to a new creation? Well, some of you know that I was a football coach, and as a football coach, I had a lot of players with a lot of plays, and I used those players in different circumstances. So often we'd have a different player tell the play to our team because of certain circumstances like down in yardage. So remember that God does not change and cannot lie. So if there are certain differences in the way we see God lay out a plan, then why is he doing that? If you go back to Genesis, and in Genesis verse 29, it says, "And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the field, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so." So God tells Adam that the garden is meat for him. Fruits and vegetables. The animals, fruits and vegetables. But then, in Genesis 9:1, he says, "And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." "And the fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth and upon every fowl of the air, upon all that moves upon the earth and upon all the fishes of the sea. Into your hand are they delivered. Every moving thing that lives shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things." So did God change? No, circumstances changed. Sin entered the world. And so after the flood, now animals will eat animals, and men will eat animals as well as vegetables. So we don't have to be vegetarians. We can, in fact, eat meat. Now, God does give him certain parameters on to which meat to eat, which was part of the law. But there are other contradictions. There are other things that if you don't rightly divide, then we will be confused, because Paul says that we should abstain from marriage. 1 Corinthians 1:8 says, "I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I." Yet later in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 14, he says, "I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachably." What changed? Why did God change his mind? No, he had a plan and a purpose, and there was a purpose at one point, and there was a purpose at the other. So, at one point he says, follow the law. He says to be circumcised, but circumstances change. And in Matthew 13:11, he says, He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Wait. How come you give it to some people, but not to others? In Matthew 13:35, he says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouths in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. So, from the foundation, since the foundation, there are things that are secret that he does reveal in parables. So again, the same word is this word mysterion. It is meant to be secret. So why does he keep secret things? Well, go back to my analogy about football. We don't want the other team to know what we're doing, so we keep it a secret. And the coach doesn't tell anybody what the secret play is that he's going to use at the right time, because he doesn't want it leaked to anyone. And another coach can watch film of our team from previous games and know all of our, quote, secret plays if we use them. But he can't know them if we haven't used them yet. He says that some will hear and some won't. Some will hear and forget. Let's take a look at Mark, and I'm going to read quite a bit of this, chapter 4, Mark, and we're going to go through 18 and 20 verses, I believe. So bear with me, I'm going to do a lot of reading. And he began again to teach by the seaside. This is Christ. And there was gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered into a ship and sat in the sea. And the whole multitude was by the sea on the land. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass he sowed, and some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it and yielded no fruit. And the other fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprang up and increased, and brought forth some 30, and some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, verse 10, they that were about him with the 12 asked of him the parable. They didn't understand. They heard, but they didn't understand. Verse 11, he said unto them, unto you it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. And unto them that are without, all things are done in parables. That seeing ye may see and not perceive, and hearing ye may hear and not understand, lest at any time they be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then ye know all parables? The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. And these are they likewise which are sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure but for a time. Afterward, when affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are they which are sown among the thorns, some as hear the word, and the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches, and the lusts of other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, and bring forth fruit, some 30-fold, 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, is a candle brought to be put under a bushel or under a bed, and not to be set on a candlestick? For there is nothing hid which shall not be manifested, neither was anything kept secret, but that it should come abroad. If any man hath ears, let him hear. His parables were not necessarily secrets. They were things that were hard to understand. They were a mystery to them until they were explained. But they were not a secret kept from before the foundation. They were secrets kept from the foundation. Difficult things to understand. They heard it. They listened. In some cases, they saw it, but they did not fully understand or perceive it. And so as we get into Paul's writings, we see that there's something else. So which are you? Are you on good ground? If so, you're growing. If not, I'm sorry. Not going to produce much fruit. God knows this and says, should I share everything with everyone? Some of you want to know. Some of you will search out the truth. Others won't work that hard and really don't care because it's the cares of the world that they care about. And as I said, the secret was from the foundation. Another secret in Romans was kept since the world began. So if the zero point is when time began, then it was kept secret from that point forward. Romans 16:25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Is that the mystery? No, it is a mystery, because it's talking about Christ. And Christ was a mystery to some because they didn't believe the prophets. They didn't believe that a Messiah would come and it would be in the form of a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. I mean, what king would be in that scenario? So, again, it's hidden for them, hard for them to understand. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, it says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. So this is talking about the mystery of Christ, that he would be sacrificed. But that was told by the prophets. In 1 Corinthians 15:51, it says, behold, I show you a mystery, that we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Is that the mystery? That we will not all die, but in fact, some of us who are alive will appear with him? So some are revealed for a purpose, and some just because of his good pleasure. Let's take a look at Ephesians 1:9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, what does that mean? In the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all the things after the counsel of his own will. In verse 12, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. Now, it talks about a mystery here, and it talks about a dispensation of the fullness of times. Are we in that dispensation now? Are we in that stewardship? All things are brought together in heaven and earth? Whoa. When was that ever discussed by the prophets? When was heaven ever discussed that the angelic beings might be brought together with those of us who live on the earth? Well, it wasn't. In Ephesians 3:3, it says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote a few words in chapter 1, whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So there's a mystery, and then there's a mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now, underline that, now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So it was entrusted to Paul, and then to the holy apostles and prophets. But it is now that Paul reveals it. chapter 3, verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. It was hid. Nobody else knew it. So nobody else had a clue about what was going on, which means that neither did Satan or his demonic forces. Otherwise, he would have tried to thwart it. He knew that there would be a Christ. He knew that there would be a Savior. And he did everything he could from the time of offering Isaac, from the time that Moses was put in the river to be eaten by crocodiles and yet saved. We knew that there would be a Messiah that would come. Let's continue Ephesians 3:10. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Note that again that this was from the beginning of the world, so the mystery was never prophesied. But Paul wants now to speak boldly about it. And this is why the condemnation of Paul came about, is because he's talking about this mystery. Verse 19, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. I think that that's our charge, that we too should be speaking boldly about this. So Paul talks about his ministry and stewardship or dispensation as a mystery to fulfill the word of God by telling the mystery or secret. Colossians 1:25. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. This mystery fulfills the word. Even the mystery, which hath been hid from ages and generations, as it is now made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Whoa, 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 whoa. What's the secret here? So he's speaking to Gentile believers, but actually he's speaking to an audience where there is no Jew or Gentile. He's not speaking to just Jews or to just Israel. He goes on to say that Christ in you. What are you saying? That Christ is now available to Jew and Gentile with no mediator. The Jew was to be the mediator. They were to be the nation of priests. And that there would be a high priest that was the mediator between God and man. Actually, between God and the nation of Israel. But now we have a direct relationship with Christ as God. And importantly, there is no Jew or Gentile. There is this new creation that is including the heavenly beings with the earthly beings, ourselves included, and Christ is the head of all of that. That was never revealed. Christ's position at the right hand of God in heavenly places was never revealed, and that we have access to God directly through Christ. No wonder the Jews threw a fit. When Paul revealed this secret, they were no longer the chosen nation of God. There was no preference any longer. Christ the high priest that was rejected was accepted by the Gentiles, and they would hear. That's what revealed in Acts 28:28. Be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and they will hear it. That is a pivotal point in history. It is a pivotal point in scriptural history, and all Scripture can then be placed on either the left side before Acts 28 or the right side after Acts 28. What Ron's been saying is Galatians is on the left side. It's before this. But what we're talking about, this secret, this mystery, Ephesians, Colossians, etc., are on the right side. And in fact, in 1 Timothy 3:16, he says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." This mystery had been hidden, but by God's sovereignty, it was revealed to those whom he will, because he knows they'll listen. They're in the front row. They're the ones that desire to know the truth. They're not the ones that listen and then on Monday morning go back to their sin nature. They're the ones that walk worthy, Colossians 1:10. So, as we read the Bible, it's not a novel. There isn't a beginning and an ending, as most books. It's a book that was dropped and the pages flew off and some men tried to put them together. Revelation is not the last book. Genesis was not the first book. Paul was, in fact, the last writer. He wrote the last 14 epistles. 7 were written before he was in prison. 7 was written after Acts 28. Look for yourself. Don't take my word for it. Don't take a pastor's word for it. Don't take a minister's word for it. Don't take my word for it. Don't take Ron's word for it. But use 2 Timothy 2:15 as a guide and basis for study. As you teach others, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And in 1 Timothy 2:5 it says, "There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ." Notice he says, Christ Jesus. I quoted that wrong. The man Christ Jesus. Why does he use the title before the human name? Well, that's another secret. That's another story. That's something else we'll have to seek out. And the next time I speak, I'll talk about the impact of Christ in you, the impact of God, as Christ Jesus is the head over this new creation, and how that changes then how the Christ, the Savior to Israel, what our role is in that versus what they had available to them. And just as a hint, he is the head over a new creation. They were looking for a king. We don't have a king. We have the head of the body. And so, in conclusion, study. Rightly divide. Let God reveal through his Holy Spirit what it is that you need to know. But it's not just by hearing. It's not just by seeing. It's by faith. It's by the grace of God that this is revealed. And if you still don't understand, then dig deep. Reach out. Ask others. We may not have all the answers. Okay, Mike has all the answers because he knows Greek and Hebrew. But reach out. There are those of us who have studied this word for many, many years. That doesn't make us all knowledgeable. It just means we're students. In some cases, we're teachers. That doesn't mean we have all the answers. Paul had all the answers. Paul had revealed truth to him through the Holy Spirit and in direct contact with Christ. And that's important. Because having been in direct contact with Christ, he had things revealed to him that he then penned to us. Put them in the right order. otherwise you'll be confused. And who's the author of chaos and confusion? Yes, you know. We won't even mention his name. But who is the author of truth? Yes, we know his name, Christ Jesus. And with that, I'll close. Heavenly Father, thank you. We are grateful that you have revealed this truth to us, that we might hear, we might see, and that we might understand. Great is your grace, your benevolence, your mercy to us who are just dust, Lord, and yet you reveal this to us. You have chosen us before the foundation. Wow. Before Israel was chosen, you chose us. Amazing. No wonder Paul was condemned. No wonder the Jews wanted to kill him. And no wonder this world hates us, Lord, for we know the truth, and the truth will make us free. We thank you, Lord. We pray for safety and health for all those who are listening and all those that are part of our families. May this be a joyous, joyous, joyous holiday season. For those of you, in Christ's name we pray.